All right, let's dive in. We're going deep underwater today, exploring the world of shellfish genomics. It's a pretty fascinating area. Our mission today, well, we want to get up to speed on how scientists are using, I guess you could say, cutting-edge DNA tech to change the way we breed shellfish and really just kind of revolutionize aquaculture, particularly in the U.S.
It's a hot area.
Yeah, I bet.
It's a really, really hot area.
That's awesome. So to get into it, we're going to be looking at a 2025 review article from BMC Genomics. And this gives us a really good snapshot of this whole field, which, like I said, is constantly evolving. This review article talks about things like pangenomes and gene editing, and even, get this, breeding for resilient shellfish. That's pretty wild. Where should we even start?
I think, well, first we need to set the stage. You know, the demand for seafood globally is going way up. And aquaculture, I guess you could say farming in the water, is playing a bigger and bigger role in meeting that demand.
Right. It's like the blue revolution, I've heard some people call it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, just like on land, we need to make sure that we're farming sustainably. So how does genomics play into all of this?
Yeah, that's a great question. How does it?
Well, genomics is changing the way we think about and manage all kinds of agriculture, aquaculture included. Think of it like this. Genomics allows us to look at the entire DNA blueprint of an organism, not just individual genes. And thanks to new advances in sequencing technology, what used to be really expensive and took forever is becoming more and more accessible.
So it's like having this powerful lens that lets you zoom in and examine the very building blocks of life.
Exactly, yeah. And one of the really interesting things that we're learning is that shellfish, they're not like some livestock or plants. They have incredibly diverse genomes. This is where that idea of a pangenome comes in. Imagine a pangenome, like a huge library that contains every single gene variant that's found across a whole species.
Okay, I like that visual. But why are these pangenomes so important when we're talking about shellfish specifically?
Well, because that diversity is what gives them resilience. Remember, shellfish are constantly facing all these environmental challenges, you know, changing water temperatures, salinity going up and down, disease outbreaks. If we can understand all of the genetic variations, we can start to figure out which genes help them survive in those conditions.
So it's like they've got this whole genetic toolbox full of different adaptations, and we're trying to figure out which tools work best in different situations.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it, and the research that's been done is already showing some pretty amazing things. For example, scientists have compared the pangenomes of wild eastern oysters to the pangenomes of these inbred lines that are commonly used in aquaculture. What they found was that inbreeding can actually deplete certain genetic variations, which makes those oysters less adaptable.
That makes sense. Inbreeding, it limits the genetic diversity, so it's kind of like narrowing down the options in that toolbox. But how do we actually use this pangenome knowledge to actually breed shellfish that are more resilient?
Well, that's where it gets really interesting. Scientists are using this information to define and measure resilience in a whole new way. They're looking for specific genes and pathways that might help them tolerate stress or fight off disease or adapt to changing water conditions.
So it's kind of like breeding shellfish that have their own built-in environmental armor.
Yeah, exactly. And this has some very real implications for shellfish farming. For instance, there's this one study that looked at eastern oysters and their tolerance to low salinity stress. Think about all those coastal areas that get hit with freshwater runoff from rivers.
Right. That kind of environmental change can really mess things up for oyster farms. So by understanding the genes that help them tolerate salinity, scientists could breed oysters that can survive even in those tough conditions.
Exactly. It's all about giving them that genetic edge to adapt to a changing world.
This is amazing. We've been talking a lot about resilience, but can we use genomics to go beyond just survival and actually make shellfish even healthier for us? I'm thinking about things like omega-3 fatty acids.
You're on the right track. The view actually makes this comparison with farmed salmon.
Oh, right. Farmed salmon, they often need, you know, unsustainable wild fish oil in their food to keep those omega-3 levels high. Could we maybe do something similar with shellfish? Breed them so they have more omega-3s naturally?
That's the big question, and scientists are actually exploring this. It's not just about making them tastier. It's about creating a food source that's more sustainable and more nutritious for a growing population.
This is really exciting. It seems like we're on the verge of a big transformation in how we produce and eat shellfish. But I have a question, and I bet our listeners are wondering the same thing. How do we get all this amazing research out of the lab and into the hands of the shellfish farmers?
That's a crucial point. We can't just have all this science just sitting around. We need to translate it into something practical.
So it's not just about the science itself, but making it accessible and useful for the people who are actually growing the food.
Exactly. This review highlights the need for things like training programs and knowledge sharing and strong partnerships between scientists, extension personnel, and the shellfish farming industry.
So it's like building bridges between the lab and the farm. making sure that everyone can benefit from these breakthroughs in genomics.
Exactly. It's about creating a collaborative environment where everyone can learn from each other and work together to move the whole field forward. The more people who understand and can actually use this genomic data, the faster we're going to see results in the real world.
This is incredible. Shellfish genomics, it's clearly a field with so much potential. We've learned about pangenomes and resilience, and even the possibility of breeding shellfish for certain nutritional traits. I can't wait to dive even deeper into how all of these advancements are being used to tackle real-world challenges.
Let's do it. All right, so we're back, and I'm ready to really dig into how these genomic advancements are actually playing out in the real world. You know, like, what are the concrete applications of this stuff?
Yeah. Me too. I'm really curious about how scientists are using this tech to deal with disease in shellfish. It's a huge issue, right?
Oh, absolutely. One of the biggest advantages of genomics is that it can pinpoint the genes that are associated with disease resistance. Think about it. Instead of just treating the symptoms, we can figure out the genetic factors that make some shellfish more susceptible in the first place.
Oh, I see. So it's like identifying those weak links in the chain before it breaks.
Exactly. And then we can selectively breed shellfish that have those stronger genes, the ones that make them more resistant to disease.
Wow. So we can actually target those specific traits.
Yep. This review actually highlights a study on Pacific oysters. They use this technique called GWAS. It stands for Genome-Wide Association Study. And they used it to find the genetic variations that are linked to resistance to this nasty virus called ostrich herpes virus.
Hold on. So they can pinpoint the exact genes that make some oysters tougher than others.
It's pretty amazing, right? And once they have that information, they can use it to breed oysters that are way less likely to get wiped out by that virus. It could be a game changer for oyster farming, especially with all the diseases that are popping up.
Yeah, no kidding. It's like giving farmers this whole new weapon in their fight against disease. But what about other aspects of resilience? Like, how do we help them deal with environmental stress? We were talking about salinity before.
Right. Well, the research on those eastern oysters and how they tolerate low salinity is a perfect example of how genomics can help us understand and even enhance resilience. Scientists have been using it to identify the genes and pathways that activate when these oysters are exposed to low salinity conditions.
So it's like they're figuring out how those oysters deal with stress, like decoding their survival manual.
Haha, yeah, that's a good way to put it. And, you know, with climate change and all that, we're going to see more salinity fluctuations in coastal waters. So this knowledge could be really important. We can use it to breed oysters that can handle those changes.
It's like we're helping them adapt faster than they could on their own.
Yeah, kind of like giving them an evolutionary boost. And it's not just about individual genes either. This research is also looking at the role of what are called epigenetic modifications.
Epigenetics, I've heard of that, but I'm not sure I fully get it.
Well, it's pretty fascinating. Basically, think of it like this. Your DNA sequence, that's like the hardware of a computer. But epigenetics is the software. It controls how those genes are expressed. It can turn genes on or off, or even just fine-tune their activity, but without actually changing the DNA code itself.
Okay, so it's like even though the blueprint is the same, epigenetics can change how those genes are actually used, like a dimmer switch that controls how bright the light is.
Exactly. Great analogy. And what's even cooler is that epigenetics can be influenced by stuff in the environment, like temperature or salinity.
Whoa, so could we potentially manipulate those epigenetic changes to make shellfish more resilient?
That's what scientists are trying to figure out. They're looking at how environmental stressors trigger epigenetic changes that might make them more resilient. And they want to know if those changes can be passed down to the next generation. It's like shaping their destiny through these environmental cues.
That's mind-blowing. But it's not just about resilience, though, is it? We talked before about breeding them for certain nutritional traits like those omega-3 fatty acids.
You're right. Genomics can do way more than just make shellfish tougher. There's a whole world of possibilities when it comes to making them more nutritious.
Okay, tell me more. I'm intrigued.
Well, like we were saying, there's a lot of interest in boosting those omega-3 levels. The review mentions that scientists have already identified some of the key genes involved in making these fatty acids.
So it's not just wishful thinking. It's actually possible to make shellfish healthier.
Exactly. And it's not just omega-3s either. We could potentially target genes that are involved in protein content or mineral levels or even antioxidants, you know, the stuff that's good for us.
It's like we're not just farming shellfish, we're designing the future of food. It's kind of crazy to think about, but let's step back for a second and talk about the practical side of all this. How do we actually make these things happen?
Right. That's a great question. And it really highlights something that's emphasized in the review, the importance of collaboration. You see, it's not just about the science. It's about making sure there are connections between the researchers, the people who can put that research into practice, and the shellfish farmers who will actually be using these new techniques.
So it's a team effort, everyone working together to make the industry better, more sustainable and productive.
Exactly. It's about breaking down those walls and creating a network of knowledge and expertise. That way, everyone benefits from these genomic breakthroughs.
I really like that idea. a real community all working towards a common goal. What else do we need to think about to make sure all this research actually has an impact?
Well, data standardization and accessibility are really important. Think about it. There are all these different research groups studying shellfish genomics all over the world, and they're all using different methods and collecting different types of data, and then they're storing that data in different formats.
Yeah, it sounds like a mess.
It can be. It's like everyone's speaking a different language. It makes it tough to compare and combine data from different studies, and that slows everything down.
So we need to find the way to translate all that information into a language everyone understands.
Exactly. And there are actually some organizations working on that right now. They're developing these guidelines and tools to promote data standardization and sharing. It's like they're building this giant library of shellfish genomic information where everyone can access and contribute to the knowledge base.
That's a cool vision. So what about the future? What are some of the big questions that scientists are still trying to figure out in this field?
Well, one of the big challenges is improving the quality and completeness of reference genome assemblies.
Reference genomes. Remind me what those are again.
Oh, sure. Think of it as like the master blueprint, the complete DNA sequence for a particular species. It's the foundation for all the other genomic analyses.
And why is it so important to improve those assemblies?
The more complete and accurate that reference genome is, the better we can understand gene function and identify genetic variations and develop those really powerful genomic tools. It's like upgrading from a blurry, hand-drawn map to this super high-resolution satellite image.
We got it. So what's next? What's the next step?
Well, scientists are working towards these telomere-to-telomere genomes. They're basically complete sequences of all the chromosomes with no gaps. They're like the ultimate genetic guidebooks.
Wow, that's impressive. So what else is coming up in shellfish genomics?
Another big thing is expanding that pangenome knowledge.
Right, those libraries of all the genetic possibilities.
Exactly. Remember, shellfish are incredibly diverse, and to understand the full range of variations and develop those effective breeding programs, we really need to capture that diversity in the pangenomes.
It's like looking beyond the individual to understand the potential of the whole species.
Yeah. And the review also makes this point that's really important. We've made a lot of progress in generating genomic data, but our ability to collect and analyze phenomic data is kind of lagging behind.
Phenomics, what's that?
Oh, it's basically the study of observable traits, things like growth rate, shell size, disease resistance, stress tolerance.
So it's connecting the genes to the actual traits that we see.
Exactly. If we want to use genomics to make a real difference, we need to be able to measure those traits.
It's like having a powerful engine but no steering wheel. So what do we need to do to improve phenomics research?
We need to invest more in these high-throughput phenotyping technologies, technologies that can measure those traits really efficiently and accurately.
So basically, we need to close the loop. Connect the genotype to the phenotype. Shellfish genomics seems like a really collaborative field. You need experts in genetics and engineering and even computer science.
Oh, for sure. And that's what makes it so exciting. It's always evolving, and there's still so much more to learn.
It's been an incredible deep dive so far. We've talked about disease resistance and pangenomes and the importance of collaboration and data sharing. It's pretty obvious that shellfish genomics has this huge potential to change the way we produce and eat seafood.
Absolutely. But before we wrap up, there's one more thing we need to talk about, and that's education and training.
That's a good point. It's not enough to just have the science, right? We need people who can actually use it.
Exactly. The review actually has a whole section on how important it is to develop a skilled workforce, people who can advance these genomic technologies in the aquaculture sector.
So it's about creating a pipeline of expertise, training the next generation of leaders.
You got it. And that includes not just scientists, but extension personnel, shellfish farmers, even consumers. We need to educate everyone in the industry, from the lab to the farm to the dinner table.
So everyone can be part of the solution.
Exactly. The review talks about developing these comprehensive training programs that cover everything from basic genomic principles to those advanced data analysis techniques. And it also emphasizes things like internship programs and mentorship opportunities and workshops so people can learn from each other and get that hands-on experience.
So building a community of people who are passionate about this stuff and committed to making a difference.
That's what it's all about. Okay, now let's step back for a minute and think about the why behind all this research. Why should we care about shellfish genomics? What's the big picture here?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, I think the answer is pretty clear. Our planet is facing some big challenges. Climate change, population growth, food security. We need to find ways to produce food sustainably and efficiently. And shellfish genomics gives us a set of tools to do just that.
Right, because we need to find ways to feed everyone without depleting our oceans or hurting the environment. And shellfish are already a pretty great source of protein, so genomics can help us make them even better.
Exactly. If we understand the genes that control things like growth rate, disease resistance, and environmental tolerance, we can breed shellfish that are more productive, require less resources, and have less of an impact on the environment. It's about making the industry more sustainable and resilient.
That's good for everyone, right? Farmers, consumers, the planet.
Exactly. It's a win-win-win, but there's more to it than just the practical stuff, don't you think? There's something really cool about exploring these creatures, these animals that have been around for millions of years. You know, figuring out their genetic secrets.
Oh, totally. There's definitely a sense of wonder and discovery in this research. It's like we're unlocking the secrets of evolution, how they've adapted and survived in all these different environments.
Exactly. And who knows what else we'll find out. Shellfish genomics is still a pretty young field. We're just getting started.
Wow, that was a journey, huh? Shellfish genomics, it's a really impressive field, I gotta say. The scope is just, it's huge. It's not just about genetics. It's about ecology and economics, sustainability, even human health.
Yeah, for sure. It really brings together so many different areas. That's what makes it so impactful.
Absolutely. Before we wrap things up, I want to go back to something you said earlier. You were talking about how shellfish genomics isn't just some academic thing. It's about creating a better future, you know, for people and the planet. Can you talk a little more about that?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that's so compelling about this research is how it could help with global food security. The world population keeps growing, right? And we need to find ways to produce enough food, nutritious food, without putting too much strain on the planet. Shellfish are already a really good option. You know, they're efficient. They don't need a ton of resources.
Yeah, it's not like raising cattle. You don't need all that land and feed.
Exactly. And genomics can take that even further. We can breed shellfish that are more resistant to disease, that grow faster, that can handle different environmental conditions. That way we can make them even more productive and sustainable.
So it's all about making shellfish farming better for the environment.
That's a big part of it. And it benefits everyone. Consumers get more affordable seafood, farmers get bigger yields, and the planet doesn't have to deal with the pressure of overfishing. It's a win-win-win.
It's really cool to see how science can help solve those big global problems. But besides the practical stuff, I think there's something kind of magical about all of this. You know, figuring out the genetic secrets of these creatures. They've been around for millions of years.
I know what you mean. There's definitely a sense of wonder in all of this. We're unlocking these evolutionary mysteries, how they've adapted and survived in all these different environments. It makes you appreciate the power of life, you know?
Totally. And it makes you wonder what else is out there. What other mysteries are waiting to be solved? What are some of those unanswered questions that you think will drive this field forward?
Well, we've talked about improving those reference genomes and expanding the pangenome knowledge. That's all super important. It's like laying the groundwork. But I think one of the most exciting areas is figuring out how genetics and the environment work together. It's like a complex dance.
You're talking about epigenetics again? That dimmer switch idea?
It's part of it, but it's bigger than that. It's about understanding how all these factors like temperature, salinity, even other organisms, how all that affects gene expression and development, ultimately how it shapes the traits we see. It's like taking a step back and looking at the whole ecosystem.
So it's not just about the genes themselves, but how they interact with the world around them.
Yeah, it's a way more holistic way of looking at things. And it's crucial for conservation, for aquaculture, even for just understanding how evolution works.
It's like a giant puzzle, right?
It is, but it's a puzzle worth solving, for sure. Not just for the knowledge, but for how it could help us and help the planet.
I love that. Well, we've reached the end of our deep dive into shellfish genomics, and I gotta say, I've learned so much. My mind is blown, basically. These creatures are amazing.
It's been awesome exploring this with you. I hope our listeners are just as excited about shellfish genomics as we are.
I hope so, too. And maybe, just maybe, some of those listeners will be the ones making the next big discoveries using genomics to shape the future of seafood. But for now, we got to wrap things up. So keep exploring, keep asking questions, and thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.